Hey everyone, before we start this episode, I just want to say that if you know of someone who has really inspired you during your journey through pre-med or medical school or residency, and you think that they would be good on this podcast, follow me on Instagram at medical.school.podcast and then send me a message about who they are or let them know that you think that they would be good on the podcast. So thank you for listening and I hope you enjoy this episode with Dr. Martin. You're listening to the Medical School Podcast, a show that inspires medical students, pre-meds, and even residents to maximize their medical education. My name is Danny Sullivan, and I'm sitting down with doctors and future doctors who share their story and advice. All right, welcome back, everyone, to part three of this interview with Dr. Tommy Martin. Dr. Martin, thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Of course. Thank you for having me back this third time. Hopefully, our listeners are still sticking around to listen to us.
Yep, exactly. So I really hate to have you do this a third time, but because in part one and two, we had you introduce yourself. But maybe for those who didn't listen to part one or two, can you just, again, introduce yourself to our listeners?
Yes, of course. Well, hey, everyone. My name is Tommy Martin. I am an intern at the University of Arkansas for medical science in internal medicine / pediatrics. And so a little bit about myself. I'm from a small college in Salina, Kansas. Went to medical school at St. George's University. Currently in Arkansas for residency. I run a YouTube channel called MedFit Faith, where I encourage my listeners to live a balanced lifestyle in medicine, fitness, and faith. Also have an Instagram account primarily to do the same thing. And you can find that by searching Dr.TommyMartin. And then also I have just recently started a personal training business in which two of my buddies, the other two founders of Strong Docs, just want to encourage people to live a lifestyle of health and wellness. So that's a little bit about myself.
Awesome. So we're dividing this interview into like three parts, where in part one we talked about your story to and through medical school, and in part two we talked about how to maintain health and fitness in medical school. And I guess that goes to apply for, you know, even if you're pre-med or I guess in residency too, how to maintain health and fitness. In this part three, we're going to focus on study methods and time management. And we're going to also kind of dig deep into how to manage stress and burnout in medical school or pre-med, and how to maintain relationships in medical school as well. So the first question I have for you, well, okay, like, when you're regardless of whether you're pre-med or in medical school or in residency, you have to have good time management in order to maintain focus. So, like, how did you manage your time in medical school? That's kind of a broad question, but what did your day-to-day look like?
Yeah, of course. And so, first way to manage time is what you have to do is make a schedule. People will say that, oh, I don't need a schedule. I don't need to, you know, have everything lined out that I'm going to do for the day. But if you do not, then you're going to miss time throughout the day. There might be 30 minutes that you miss here or an hour that you miss here. And all those build up until after 24 hours, you've missed out on 4 hours of stuff that you could have been doing. And so I'd say number one is make a schedule. And so that's exactly what I did. And so I made a schedule where I would wake up at about 4:30 or 4:45 every single day.
Oh my goodness.
No matter what. And then I would try to get in bed by 10 o'clock at night. To be honest, that very rarely happened, but I would try to be in bed by 10 p.m. So then I would make a schedule throughout my day of starting at 5 in the morning where I would go to the gym and then where I'd go to bed at 10 o'clock. And then throughout that schedule, I'd block off times for absolutely everything, you know, classes and labs and time for lunch, which I meal prep my food. So lunch only took literally 10 minutes out of my time. So not bad at all. And same with dinner. And then, you know, time to go to the gym. Like, and once you block all that off, you'll be like, holy cow, I have so much more time than I ever thought I did. Where you might be spending your time sleeping, watching Netflix, goofing off, or, you know, doing whatever. But if you have the schedule laid out, you see how much time you truly have. And that's like a very key thing that you have to do at the beginning. Because if you don't, you're going to lose out on a lot of time.
Right. How early did you say you wake up? 4:45, 4:30?
Yeah, so I'll run down my daily schedule of what it looked like in medical school. So I wake up anywhere between 4:30 and 5. And so I usually get going at 5 o'clock. And so in medical school, I'd wake up around 4:30 or 4:45, and I'd get to the gym for 5 o'clock. I would work out from 5 to probably 6:15-ish. I'd be to my study space by about 6 30, and so from 6:30 until 8, I would study if I had class at 8. If I did not have class at 8, I would study from 6:30 till as long as I could until we had class, and that's if I went to class. Sometimes I didn't. If your school requires you to go to class, but sometimes I would just study on my own. And so if I did study on my own, what that means is I would study from 6:30 until 10. From about 10 to 10:10, I'd take a small break and have a snack, and then from 10:10 till 12:30-ish, I'd study again, and from 12:30 till about 12:45, I would eat lunch, and then from 12, you know, if I had class at 1, I'd go to class at 1. If not, I would study from about 1 till 5, and then a lot of the time we had lab during that time, though, so I couldn't. So let's say I got out at 5 p.m., from 5 p.m. to 6, I could work out again if I wanted to, or just kind of take a little bit of time there to work on other stuff, other organizations that I was part of, and then from 6 till 10, I'd study. And so that'd be pretty much the breakdown of my whole day.
So I've been reading this book called Miracle Morning because, like, if you have Amazon Prime, it's free. This isn't like an advertisement or something like that. But basically, he talks about all the benefits of getting up early and how to schedule your morning, because I've never had a good morning routine. I've always just woken up 20 minutes before class starts, get in the shower, run to class, all hectic and everything like that. But I've been trying to wake up early. Like, I've been trying to get up at 5, and it sucks. But, well, it sucks for, like, the time before you get up. But once you're up, once I'm out, like, you know, working out in the morning, it changes my whole day. Like, I just feel so much better the whole day, and it makes a huge difference. So I'm trying to get in the habit. But that's amazing that you hear that you get up that early. But so with having like a really hectic schedule like that, or not really hectic, but just strict schedule, what did you do to avoid burning out in your studies and school and in everything, I guess?
Yeah, of course. And so, I mean, I don't want to make anyone mad when I say this, but I have a different view on burnout than I would say majority of people. And I don't know how to say this. So I believe that if you focus on your dreams and you focus on your end goal, so for instance, if you every single morning have it written down that you're going to focus on the future, your future patients, or healing your future patients, or your future patient saying, "Oh my goodness, doctor, thank you. You made a difference in my life." When you focus on those things, I truly believe that you can make burnout burnout to where you do not experience the side effects of burnout. That if you're taking care of yourself, if you're focusing on your future patients, then burnout will become very hard because you're no longer doing this for yourself. You're no longer doing this for a score on an exam or for that step one score, that step two score, all those selfish desires of scoring big and making it look good to residency program directors, that you're not focusing on those things that in turn will only hurt you, because if you don't score a certain score that you want, then that hits your self-esteem. If you do not do as well as you want, that is another attack to your self-esteem. But instead, if you refocus all of your motives towards your future patients or achieving your future goals and towards of helping others, I believe it becomes very hard to burn out. You know, now, with that being said, you have to be taking care of yourself. So you have to be, you know, eating well, exercising, having a good sleep pattern. But then from there, if all of your motives are focused on other people and you helping other people, I believe it is very hard to burn out. Like, you should be thinking and striving towards healing your patients so much that burnout rarely occurs. You should be, you know, doing this for the love of your patients. And when you do that, I truly believe burnout will burn out and you'll be thriving every day to do the best you can for your patients. And now I say that, and I say that it might make people upset, is because I have not went through residency. And so I do not know how rigorous and how hard residency is. And because I know residency is a key, like a key area where a lot of people burn out. And so I pray to God that by God's grace and by God giving me, you know, the energy every single day, and by God giving me the love for my future patients every day, I pray that I will not experience burnout to the measure that people talk about burnout. And that if we turn our thinking back to our patients every day, I really hope that it's true, that burnout burnouts.
Right. I think that's really good advice. So, like, as far as study methods, I think like everyone can agree there's no exact right way to study. Everyone studies differently. Some things work for some people, other things work for other people. But having said that, we can all learn from how other people study. Like, for example, Dako Sara has a video or a couple videos where he talks about using the Pomodoro technique, where you study for 25 minutes really hard, and then you take a 5 minute break. And then you study for 25 minutes, you take a 5 minute break. And I utilized that in undergrad, and it made a huge difference, right? So I think we can all take little, tips and tricks like that from other people and integrate it into our own study methods and in order to improve them. So, in general, like, what were some study methods that worked super well for you that you found in medical school?
Yeah, of course. And so, just really quick to Doc O'Sara, incredible technique. I think that is a very, very great way to study. And I'd say mine is very similar, just modified. Okay. And so, what I would say is that the study techniques that work best for me is spaced repetition. And so, as you said, Danny, everyone has a different learning style. Some like to watch videos, some like to listen to audio, some just like to read. And so, my study method was based off of solely spaced repetition of whatever the study material would be, with integrated into, I guess, the Pomodoro technique, kind of. And so let me explain. And so, spaced repetition, if you have any lecture, the way I would break it down is that you should pre-read that lecture, and this should be a very slow, not slow, a very fast pre-read, just to where you get the gist about what the lecture is about. And that should be before you actually go to lecture. So you've seen it one time now, and then you see it again in lecture. And during lecture, you should not be playing on Instagram or Facebook. You should be listening and trying to take in as much of the lecture as you can, and taking notes on things that you did not understand. And then the third time you'll see it is after your lecture that same day, is that you should post-read the lecture. And that really is where you're trying to get as much of that information as you can, and that should take about an hour of your time. Okay, so you did a 15-minute pre-read, you watched the lecture, then you post-read it for an hour or 45 minutes to an hour. And so you saw that material three times within 24 hours. Okay, and then within another period, another span of say 48 to 72 hours, you should see that material for a fourth time. And then for the fifth time, you would see it within about 96 hours to about 6 to 7 days. So within 1 week, you should see all of your material five times. And that's how spaced repetition works. But this is not just rereading it. Okay, so each time you do this, before you even look at your notes, or before you look at the lecture slides or listen to a video, you need to try to recall, active recall from your brain, absolutely everything you can from each of those lectures or study materials. And then when you sit for 5 minutes not being able to remember anything, then you can look back at your lecture notes and begin to study it. And so this is integrating spaced repetition, active recall, and then the Pomodoro technique. Why I wanted to touch on that is that I believe that you should study for as long as you can, take a break. And so let's say the 25 minutes and then a 5 minute break. What I believe is week one, you study for 25 minutes, take a 5 minute break. Week two, you study for 30 minutes, take a 5 minute break. Week three, now you can study for 35 minutes with a 5 minute break, because you're providing progressive overload and your brain is growing and your ability to have that attention span prolonged is growing. So why not grow with it? Why not study for longer if you can now? Because you're going to be growing and growing and growing, where eventually you'll be able to study for an hour and 15 minutes and you're still wanting to study, but you need to go pee really bad. And so you're like, man, I still feel like I can study, but I need to go pee. And so, like, you're helping yourself grow by providing that progressive overload. And so I would say those are the main techniques that I used all throughout medical school and that I believe helped me do very well.
I like how you said that when you review material or when you learn material, it's not just about reading your notes or reading the lecture slides or reading the textbook. It has to be more active than that. Like, for me, what works for me is like taking notes and explaining the concepts to myself out loud, right? And so for me, that's like what makes the material stick the most.
Yeah, for sure. And just to touch on that, my 7-year-old nephew could read the majority of the lecture slides except for the big words. You know, and does that mean he knows the material? No, he's just rereading. He's just reading it. And so when you study, just because you read the lecture slides does not mean that you know it. But now, if you could recite me the lecture slides and explain them to me, then you know the material. So each one of those times during spaced repetition, you should be doing that to yourself in your head or to a friend or something and seeing how much you actually know.
Right. I always thought to myself, like, I wanted to be able to give the lecture better than the teacher was able to give the lecture, right?
Exactly. Yeah, for sure. That's exactly what you want to do.
Yeah. So I asked this to Dr. Osara, and I have to ask this to everyone, because it's like the ultimate question. How did you study for step one?
Ooh, yeah. So I have a whole video on how I studied for step one on my YouTube channel. And actually, I have all these study tips on YouTube as well. So make sure you guys check them out. I'm going to give you guys like the cliff notes right now. And so how I studied for step one would be a modified version of the UFAP method. And so if you do not know what that is, it is UWorld, First Aid, and Pathelma. And so why I say mine is modified is because at St. George's, we had a study resource that I really liked for PATH. And so I mainly studied that for PATH, and then I would watch PATHELMA passively. So I would use my spaced repetition technique. I would do UWorld, First Aid, and a PATH, either my resource or PATHELMA, every single day. And with that, with UWorld, I would go through the questions, and any question that I got wrong or anything I did not know, I'd put it in my little black book, in which I would review every night. And because the stuff that you do not know is the stuff that you mainly need to focus on. And then with First Aid, I would do spaced repetition and go through it as many times as I possibly could. And with PATH, I would do the exact same thing. And so I'd studied for 8 weeks using those resources. And so a key thing with step one is that you do not need very many resources, and whatever resources you have, you need to know those cold. So if you decide to use the UFAP method, stick to that. Do not listen to what your friends are doing. Do not listen to everyone else online. Do whatever you decide to stick to. I don't care what that is. Stick to it. Stay on the grind. Keep going forward. Stay consistent. And if you learn the resources that you picked cold, you will do well.
One thing I remember from, I think, one of your videos is that you had First Aid essentially memorized at one point. Is that right?
Pretty much, yes.
That's awesome. Well, that's something I've heard, that is that everyone going into that test, everyone's going to know First Aid in and out. So it really comes down to the practice questions and how many practice questions have you done. And so, yeah.
And with that, it's very easy to get into allowing UWorld to be kind of like, if I do X amount of questions, that gives me an A. Well, that's not how it works. It's X amount of questions that you understand and can get right will give you an A. So don't just be shooting to get 100 questions done a day if you didn't understand 30 of them. You know, it'd be better to do 60 questions and understand every single one and every single thing in every one of those questions than to do 100 questions and only get 40% of it. You know, so don't try to get, like, yeah, it's great to get all the UWorld questions done, but know that UWorld, out of the 2,300 questions that they have, that they retest the same topics a lot. So even if you get 2/3 or 3/4 of all the questions done, if you understand everything about every one of those questions, you'll do very well.
So I have like one more question left, and then we're going to wrap up this part three. And this question, I also asked to Doc Osara, but I think it's, we can learn a lot from each person, is that what advice would you have for people who are going through their clinical rotations regarding how to do well, how to, you know, get good letters, I guess, and how to prepare for residency? Hey everyone. I'm really sorry about this, but at this point in the podcast, we actually had some technical issues. So unfortunately, we weren't able to record the things that we talked about after this point, which is kind of a bummer. But I guess I just want to, after the fact, thank Dr. Tommy Martin for being on this podcast and taking the time, and we really appreciate it. And to any of our viewers, if any of you have a question that you really want to ask one of our guests, at us on Instagram at medical.school.podcast, and then send me your question as a direct message, and we'll be sure to include it in our Q&A sessions. So thank you again for listening to this podcast and supporting us. Be sure to tune in next week for another episode, and have a great week.